Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's gray and drizzly right now in Chapel Hill. We have even more rain coming up later today and into the weekend. I'll show you how much we could see in the next few days.
Local law enforcement officers are investigating threats at two schools, including Wake Christian Academy, when students and administrators expect to return to class.
New information this noon about an Apex man who was murdered at Atlantic Beach nearly 2 years ago.
Classes were canceled today at Wake Christian Academy after a threat was aimed at that school. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. The K through 12 private school made that decision to close as a precaution. WRL's Shelley Jackson is live in South Raleigh outside the school. Shelley, what can you tell us about this threat?
Well, Renee, right now we are working to determine the exact nature of those threats, but it was serious enough to cancel classes out here at Wake Christian Academy. You can take a look yourself. The parking lot is empty. We've only seen the custodian out here today. Now, the Wake County Sheriff's Office says it was called yesterday to investigate a threat made to the school. Deputies say a child made the threat, but details of the threat have not been released yet. The school canceled classes today out of an abundance of caution. Wake County Sheriff Willie Rowe says all threats against our schools will be taken seriously and investigated. He's urging parents to talk with their kids about the consequences of making threats and urges students to report any threats they hear about. And now later this afternoon, we will be talking with the sheriff's office about the threat, the nature of the threat, and what the consequences are for the child who made the threats. Renee?
Shelley Jackson, live in Raleigh. Shelley, thanks. Some tense moments for teachers and students at Wakefield High School in Raleigh this morning. Someone called in a bomb threat shortly before 8:30. School leaders call police and move students to the football field. Officers searched the high school. They did not find any evidence to support the threat. Everyone was allowed back inside the building just before 10 a.m. Police are continuing to investigate. Anyone found responsible will face disciplinary action and possibly criminal charges.
It is gray this noon, but temperatures are well above normal. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at the warm but somewhat wet afternoon for folks.
Of course, we had a pretty drizzly morning. The drizzle, for the most part, is tapered off for now, but there's more rain on the way. That's a live look at Chapel Hill, where people are walking around. There were some people out there wearing short sleeves because the temperature is warm out there. Take a look at what's happening just to our west. This is a scene that was playing out in the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour, where we have this band of rain that's back to the west, and it's trying to edge into our viewing area, but it just doesn't have enough support to produce much rain as it moves closer to us. There's a cold front that's back across the mountains. And so we're going to see rain closer to that front, but we're a little bit too far from that front to see a whole lot of rain coming our way. So watch what happens here on Futurecast. We kick it off here at noon. We push it ahead and notice we have this wave of rain and it tries to move into our viewing area. And it does look like potentially by the time we get to 5 or 6 o'clock, we see some showers from the Triangle area northward coming through. So we may end up seeing that wave making it through right about the time of the evening commute. We do have the potential for some showers to bump up a 40% chance by the time we get to the evening commute, mid to late afternoon. Is also likely to be breezy. Our winds are out of the south right now, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Not terribly gusty now, but we could see some gusts up to 20 miles per hour later on today. And our temperature is on its way into the low to mid 70s. It's going to stay mild overnight tonight. Look at those temperatures in the mid 60s, even at midnight. I'll show you why that could end up breaking a record for us tomorrow morning coming up.
Thanks, Elizabeth. In just the last 2 hours, police in Atlantic Beach released new information about the investigation into the murder of an Apex man. We brought you that news conference live on WRL News Plus. WRL's Noah Klein joins us right now with what authorities are searching for, Noah.
Jeff, new at noon here. Authorities looking for a Volkswagen CC made between 2013 to 2017. Important to note here, it's all connected to the death of Randy Miller. Miller lived in Apex. He was visiting the area on a fishing trip. Miller was stabbed in the early morning hours of August 29th. He later died. We want to show you some surveillance video from that night. Police sent it to the FBI. Agents then narrowed down exactly what type of car they were searching for. Police say three men were breaking into vehicles and one of them attacked Miller. The department says it's dealt with some challenges in following leads for this investigation.
Some tips that have been challenging are either anonymous or they don't have any lead to follow up on or any facts, but maybe just hunches and things that aren't factual. Those have been some challenges.
Atlantic Beach police are offering a $55,000 reward for any information on this case. WRL's Chelsea Donovan just wrapped up an interview with Miller's wife. You'll hear how she's feeling about this new update in the case. That's today on our news at 4. Jeff?
Noah, thanks for that update. Johnston County deputies, meantime, have identified two people who died following a shooting in Benson. This is video taken from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. It happened last night at a home on McGee Road. A 22-year-old woman told deputies her mother and mother's boyfriend were arguing inside the home, and then she heard two gunshots. Deputies found Miguel Ventura dead inside as a result of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Ma Teresa Meraz Cruz was taken to the hospital where she died.
Charges are pending in a rollover crash involving at least two stolen vehicles. Just before 4:30 this morning, the owner of a truck reported the vehicle stolen from Valview Street in Raleigh. The owner tracked the truck to Paces Forest Court. While investigating the truck, two cars approached the scene, then sped away. The driver of the Volvo hit an uninvolved car, causing that driver to lose control and crash on Knollwood Road. The driver was taken to the hospital. The driver of the Fusion got away. The investigation is ongoing. Another crash, this one during the morning commute, caused backups for hours. The driver of an Amazon tractor trailer jackknifed on I-40 East in Cary. This happened around 7 this morning near Carytown Boulevard. The left lane was closed until shortly after 9 a.m. No one was injured. No word on what caused the driver to lose control.
Tonight, Durham Public Schools employees who are facing problems with their pay will hold a rally as they look for answers. It's happening before a special meeting of the Durham Public Schools Board. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains this ongoing situation has hundreds of employees at the school upset.
Hundreds of Durham Public Schools employees will be rallying here at the Minnie Fort Brown Staff Development Center, and they're asking for three things. They're demanding more pay, more transparency, and what they're calling a seat at the table. The pay issue they're rallying about impacts classified employees, people like school nurses and bus drivers. More than 100 employees showed up to a meeting with administrators last week to talk about pay. Some employees say their salaries were affected by a policy change based on years of experience. They say the district is now only paying people for their years of experience within the school district, not in other places. DPS nurse Barbara Lewis says the district could lose their nursing staff if they don't change their policy, which impacts students the most.
We got a email last week saying that I had been dropped down three steps and that I would be my pay would be reduced. And it's kind of like a slap in the face.
The school board will also meet tonight to work through ways they can move forward. And that rally is scheduled for tonight at 5:30. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Durham.
Also this evening, the new superintendent of Wake County Schools will share the progress he's seen in his first 100 days on the job. Robert Taylor will summarize his first 100 days at a public presentation tonight. He will also address the next steps of the district's strategic plan. The presentation is at 7 o'clock at Broughton High School, and WRL.com will live stream the event.
Shaw University says a temporary boiler will help as the school works to restore hot water for students. It's a problem students have been dealing with for weeks. A parent contacted WRL about her concerns. She says the problem started over winter break. A recent Facebook post shows students protesting to bring attention to the problem. Students met with University President Paulette Dillard. They're waiting to see if today's improvements make a difference. Duke University has settled a lawsuit that accused some of the nation's top universities of inflating tuition for students who get financial aid. 17 schools were sued 2 years ago. And within the last 24 hours, Duke and four other schools filed paperwork to settle the case. Duke and Columbia will each pay out about $24 million. Brown, Emory, and Yale will each pay $18 to $19 million. None of the schools admitted wrongdoing in the case.
Next at noon, a payout for people in Seattle after being injured by police while protesting the death of George Floyd. How much they got from the city.
Also, tens of millions of people across the country are under the threat of flash flooding. Where the heavy downpours are expected and for how long.
Plus, Congress is considering a specific nicotine pouch ban. At 12:30, the details that have lawmakers at odds.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
The U.S. Supreme Court will not stop the nation's first nitrogen gas execution. Today, the state of Alabama plans to carry out the death penalty on convicted murderer Kenneth Smith. He survived a botched lethal injection in 2022. The justices denied Smith's request to stop his execution. The high court also declined to hear his legal challenge, contending that a second execution attempt by Alabama would violate the Constitution's Eighth Amendment protections against cruel and unusual punishment. Newly released video from the Oklahoma Highway Patrol shows the heart-stopping moments of a traffic stop crash that hurt a trooper and two drivers. And we want to warn you, the video is very jarring, but everyone is expected to be okay. The video shows the importance of following move over laws.
Yeah, not taking you to jail. Let you drive off.
Wow. This happened on January 18th along I-40 in Oklahoma. The trooper was conducting a traffic stop when the driver of a black SUV slammed into the back of that parked vehicle. Video shows the trooper flipping backwards and tumbling through the grass along the side of the interstate. The white SUV was mangled from the crash, and the black SUV flipped down the road. All three people involved in this, though, have been treated and released.
Wow. The man responsible for a deadly fire at a Japanese anime studio in 2019, killing 36 people, was sentenced to death by a Japanese court today. Aoba Shinji poured gasoline in that studio and then set it on fire, telling investigators he carried out the attack because the company stole his novel. His lawyer argued he was not mentally competent to stand trial, but prosecutors said his delusions had a limited impact on the crime he committed. The city of Seattle has agreed to pay $10 million to settle a lawsuit from a group of demonstrators who were injured by police during protests over George Floyd's murder in 2020. City officials, though, are not admitting any wrongdoing. The city attorney said it was best to settle rather than drain the time and resources of the city. Among the 50 plaintiffs were a woman who had a heart attack when she was struck in the chest by a police blast ball, a man who was hospitalized in a coma after his arrest, and a veteran as well who uses a cane and was gassed and tackled because officers say he didn't retreat fast enough.
Jim Harbaugh is making his return to the NFL. The former Michigan Wolverine head coach has accepted a job to be the new head coach for the Los Angeles Chargers. Harbaugh led the Wolverines to winning a national title earlier this month. He served as the San Francisco 49ers head coach from 2011 until 2014. And as a player, Harbaugh rounded out his career as a Carolina Panther back in 2001. We'll find out Sunday who will be playing in Super Bowl 58. First, in the AFC Championship game, the Kansas City Chiefs will play the Baltimore Ravens. That game's at 3. After that, the NFC Championship game is on Fox 50. The Detroit Lions will be in San Francisco to face the 49ers. That game gets started at 6:30.
Millions of people across the South are preparing for heavy downpours. Forecasters say the risk of flash flooding is expected to last through the weekend. NBC's Guad Venegas reports on the 34 million people under alert.
Across the southern plains, this morning communities inundated by relentless rain are gearing up for another round of heavy showers and flooding.
That's my mom's mailbox to turn into her driveway.
A new band expected to dump inches of rain today from eastern Texas to Tennessee.
But another round of storms is set to come through.
Rainfall already pouring as much as 10 to 12 inches in parts of Louisiana and Texas, causing terrifying road conditions. This driver near Houston hoisted up from his vehicle after it hydroplaned off the road, swept up in the fast-moving water.
NOLA deployment is separate from the state.
Others risking the flooded roadways, while firefighters in Montgomery County spent the day conducting rescues in flooded areas.
Take precautions, keep watching the water all night, see if it keeps creeping up, and, you know, try to save your car and get your animals out.
The torrential downpour creating havoc for authorities, too. This officer attempting to block off an intersection going too far and getting submerged in high waters just off an interstate. As the South gets drenched, parts of the Northeast are glazed by freezing rain and slick ice, while the West Coast prepares for more rain, wind, and snow.
This is Guad Venegas reporting. There's try to find higher ground as that system moves its way across the country coming our way.
Yeah. We're not expecting any severe weather. We'll pack less of a punch, but we are going to see some rain. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner will walk us through the timing of this.
Yeah, we're expecting the rain that will be heaviest for us on Saturday into Sunday is that same system that brought all that flooding to Texas and for parts of the Gulf Coast as well. This is way out ahead of it, but in a loose sense, part of the same system. Some scattered showers are starting to creep back into our viewing area. We're going to see some patchy rain. This morning, we just had a lot of drizzle, so this is finally showing up on the radar as the actual raindrop size system that's coming through here. A little bit of light patchy rain. Let's zoom in here across parts of Moore County. I pulled up the camera in Pinehurst at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. It's actually raining on the golf course. Jeff, take note. That never, ever happens, right? It's raining in Sanford, so we're going to take a look at that right now. And some big raindrops actually coming out of the system. I'm not sure how well you can see them where you are, but standing right beside them, giant raindrops are falling there in Sanford right now, and it is wet. Folks have their windshield wipers going. So we're going to start to see more of that pushing into the middle and the eastern part of the viewing area over the next few hours. It is 69 degrees. So in January, you would expect it to be a cold rain, maybe in the 40s. So this is an unusual setup for us. We do tend to see, a handful of days in the 70s, but sometimes that's, not along with the rain this time of year. But looking at 73 for the high this afternoon with some scattered showers. We take a look at Futurecast and starting to see some of that rain pushing in by 2 and 3 o'clock right around the triangle. The best chance of rain we have out of the system is going to be from the triangle area northward, but we're already seeing some of that rain down around the sand hills right now. That will lift out overnight, and then it comes right back. Tomorrow morning, the drizzle that we had, we'll probably end up with some more drizzle for Friday morning, and then into the afternoon and evening, a better chance for some scattered thunderstorms. Let's jump on out and take a look. About a 50% chance for tomorrow afternoon and evening. But the best chance for rain, the heaviest time that we'll see it, is likely to be Saturday afternoon, right around lunchtime to around lunchtime on Sunday. That's when we'll see the heaviest bit of rain. Right now, we're looking at temperatures anywhere from 63 to 69 degrees. 69 in the Triangle, as well as Fayetteville and in Clinton. Around town, looking at 73 in Raleigh, 71 in Durham, and 76 in Fayetteville for our afternoon highs. Of course, these temperatures are way above normal. And you can see the red shaded areas here. That's where temperatures are well above normal. We start to see the temperatures easing back a little bit over the weekend. And then by next week, Monday and Tuesday, we're back closer to maybe even below normal as we get into Tuesday and Wednesday. We take a look at what's going on out there. And our 7-day forecast looking like this. 73 for today and tomorrow, 65 for Saturday, 67 Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're back into the 50s, some morning lows in the 30s. But look at this. Tomorrow morning, our temperature likely to be 64. If we hit 64, that will break the previous record for a warm overnight low. And then we can drop it back to nearly freezing by Tuesday morning. We are looking at some significant rain potentially late Saturday into Sunday. I'll show you what our flooding risk is for the weekend coming up in just a few minutes.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some breaking news. The Carolina Panthers have a new head coach. Ian Rappaport just sent out this tweet. It is Dave Canales. He is the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive coordinator. Again, he is the new Panthers head coach. Frank Reich was fired after the Panthers had a horrible season. They finished 2-15 on the season. But this just in, Carolina has a new football head coach.
All right, big news there. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Coming up on WRL News at 5:30, a state panel will talk this afternoon about possibly ending coverage for expensive weight loss drugs like Wegovy. We'll let you know what comes out of that meeting.
Also tonight at 6, dozens of complaints against one local towing company. WRL investigates why the issue at hand in many of the complaints is actually perfectly legal. But still ahead this noon, a popular over-the-counter medicine sold nationwide is being recalled. A discovery that could lead to serious health complications for some users.
Also, enrollment in higher education is up for the first time in more than a decade. The institution seeing the highest growth.
Bring it back this noon. Perfect day for the museum, wouldn't you say? As you watch WRL News available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Some Robitussin syrups sold nationwide are being recalled due to contamination. Here's what the recall products look like. They could potentially result in severe or life-threatening fungal infections in those with impaired immune systems. The products are used to relieve symptoms of cold, flu, hay fever, or other respiratory allergies. Four adult versions of CF Max Day and Honey CF Max Nighttime are included in this recall. The contaminated products have expiration dates of 2025 and 2026. You can find their lot numbers on the FDA's website. Johnson & Johnson will reportedly pay $700 million to resolve investigations by more than 40 states, plus the District of Columbia. The settlement does not resolve the tens of thousands of lawsuits alleging that those talc-based products caused cancer. Some of those cases are set to go to trial this year. Johnson & Johnson ended sales of its talc-based baby powder globally last year.
Police will no longer be allowed to request doorbell video from Amazon Ring customers. Ring is ending its request for assistance tool. The tool allowed police departments and public safety agencies to request doorbell camera footage from Ring's Neighbors app. Many have expressed concerns about the Neighbors app, which has heightened the risk of racial profiling and turned residents into informants. A 61-year-old Texas man is suing Macy's and Sunglass Hut after facial recognition led to his wrongful arrest. It happened in January of 22 at a Sunglass Hut in Houston. Employees were robbed at gunpoint, but cameras captured video of the men. Employees took the video to a Macy's store to analyze that software, and it identified Harvey Murphy Jr. However, he was in California at the time of the crime. Once he returned to Houston for work the following year, he was arrested and sent to jail, where he endured a brutal rape.
I know for a fact that studies have showed that African Americans have a high rate of false positives based on facial recognition software. I also know comparing people who are older with pictures of them, of other people when younger. So age gaps have a very high rate, up to 90% of false positives.
Murphy has long-standing physical and psychological injuries from the arrest and the attack. Neither Macy's nor Sunglass Hut have commented on the lawsuit.
More people than ever are spending too much of their income on housing due to the sharp rise in rent over the past few years. A new report from Harvard finds the number of Americans spending more than 30% of their income on rent and utilities hit a record high, 22 million in the year 2022. So 30% is that threshold. Housing is considered affordable if it costs no more than 30% of your gross income. Rent increases have slowed since 2022. Wages, though, have not kept pace. Coming up at 12:30, a battle in Congress over nicotine pouches. Why an effort to ban them is creating such a firestorm.
Well, it's heart-pounding moments for people as a low-flying military transport aircraft comes in for an emergency landing. Where this happened and the condition of the people on that plane. And here are your winning NC Education lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Chuck Schumer and the GOP have a lot of disagreement, but nothing has created a firestorm like the one over Zyn nicotine pouches. Griff Jenkins has a closer look at why this has become such a touchy issue.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is once again at odds with his Republican colleagues as he launches a new mission to ban these. They're called Zyn, nicotine alternative pouches, popular with young people. There have been some warning signs that its use is spreading to those under 17, and it's also feared it could be acting as a gateway drug. Now Schumer is waging war on Zyn, comparing it to the fight against e-cigarettes and claiming tobacco companies are trying to hook kids for life.
Our schools had been inundated with e-cigs, and we took action seeking federal results. Zyn is the next battle. and the feds must be ready.
But the bipartisan backlash has been swift. Some members of Schumer's own party, like Democrat John Fetterman, says Americans should be allowed to decide on their own, while Republicans see the proposed ban as another big government power grab and say Schumer's priorities aren't where they should be.
If Schumer is so worried about teenagers, why don't you close the border? 110,000 per year of Americans, of our fellow citizens, and many of them teenagers, are dying of fentanyl overdoses.
Meanwhile, it's still not clear where the White House stands. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about it on Wednesday, but referred all questions to the FDA.
That's something for FDA to speak to. I can't speak to that from here.
That was Griff Jenkins reporting. Zinn's parent company, Philip Morris International, issued a statement saying they fully meet industry regulations and they do not market their products to children.
Former Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro will learn his sentence today for criminal contempt of Congress. Federal prosecutors saying he thumbed his nose at the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The charge carries a mandatory minimum sentence of a month in prison. Federal prosecutors are seeking 6 months in federal prison. An undercover investigation by the Humane Society revealed the illegal sale of elephant ivory at stores in Connecticut. The Humane Society organization said they found 29 stores in that state sold ivory as well as bone and teeth from other threatened animal species. More than 160 items suspected to be carved from ivory were discovered at shops at 19 stores in six counties. Items ranged from a $12 brooch to a pair of belt charms for $1,250.
A major development in the Boeing MAX 9 investigation. The FAA is temporarily freezing future production of Boeing's MAX planes while laying out the exact steps airlines must take to get their MAX 9s inspected and back in the air. NBC's Tom Costello shares the timeline some airlines hope to resume flights.
Nearly 3 weeks since the blowout on that Alaska Airlines flight over Portland grounded every MAX 9 nationwide. Alaska says it's already preparing for final FAA inspections and its first MAX 9 flight coming this Friday, resuming its full schedule on February 2nd. United says its flights will return starting Sunday. But the FAA now says it is freezing future production of all Boeing 737s, announcing it will not grant any production expansion of the MAX until we are satisfied that the quality control issues uncovered during this process are resolved.
I'm more than frustrated and disappointed. I am angry.
In an exclusive interview, Alaska Airlines CEO Ben Minicucci had a similar demand.
My demand on Boeing is, what are they going to do to improve their quality programs in-house?
Under intense pressure, Boeing CEO David Calhoun met with senators on Capitol Hill Wednesday. NBC's Ryan Nobles was there.
Mr. Calhoun, what's your message to passengers concerned about flying on your planes?
We fly safe planes. We don't put airplanes in the air that we don't have 100% confidence in.
But before those existing MAX 9 flights can fly again, they'll have to pass a rigorous inspection process just laid out by the FAA.
This is the door plug.
That's the door plug right there.
In the U.S., only United and Alaska fly the MAX 9.
It's taking roughly 10 hours to inspect every door plug. They're checking to see whether the bolts are in place. One, two, three, and four, and whether those bolts are secure. And then they are having to check measurements and gaps and torques. It is a long process.
And that was Tom Costello reporting. In some cases, the inspections can take up to 12 hours per door plug. The two airlines taking it on now to get more people flying as soon as this weekend.
Colleges and universities are starting to see more students enroll after years of decline due to the pandemic. Undergraduate enrollment grew by about 176,000 students in the fall of 2023. That's a 1.2% increase from the previous year. It also marks the first enrollment increase since the pandemic. The report says community colleges saw the highest growth. A fix may be coming to how federal student aid is calculated, which could provide more help for applicants. The Education Department is planning to fix an error in its free application for federal student aid, also known as FAFSA. The error did not adjust the aid tables for inflation, which reportedly would have cost students $1.8 billion in federal aid. The change will occur for incoming students in the 2024 and 2025 school year.
Tonight, advocates for the Leandro School Funding Plan will kick off a statewide tour with an event in Durham. They will hold a news conference and panel discussion tonight at North Carolina Central University. They want to bring more awareness to the Leandro case, which dates back to 1997. It would provide billions in funding to public education. Some lawmakers want the plan struck down. Earlier this month, school systems and the state filed arguments with the North Carolina Supreme Court, saying the court should not reconsider. Leandro is a case our WREL documentary team thoroughly researched and featured. You can watch the full documentary, Leandro, the Case for a Basic Sound Education, by going to WRELdoc.com or WRL.com and search documentary.
The man behind the infamous kiss at the Women's World Cup could face trial. What's next for Spain's former soccer boss?
Plus, plans are in the works for what will be the tallest building in America, the surprising location for it, and what it will include. Remember to take WREL with you on the go. Watch our newscast live anytime on the WREL News app on your streaming device. A judge says former Spanish soccer president Luis Rubiales should face trial for kissing a player without her consent at the Women's World Cup. The kiss sparked immediate controversy, being televised live as Spain's players lined up to get their victory medals. Rubiales described the kiss as mutual, a claim repeatedly denied by the player herself, Jennifer Hermoso. State prosecutors now have 10 days to formally request the case move forward to trial. Check this out. A Turkish military plane flew just over passing cars as it made an emergency landing this morning. The large plane just barely making it over the road, caught passing over a stadium before touching down. The military said the plane had to land due to a technical problem, and it was slightly damaged as a result. The crew and pilots were not injured.
Japan's lunar lander touched down on the moon, but it appears to have hit the ground upside down. That error in landing is making it difficult for the lander to generate power. Scientists hope the craft's panels will be able to generate power during the moon's daytime. It took 20 years of research and preparation for Japan to land on the moon. They are the fifth country to achieve that feat. Plans are being made now to build the tallest building in the country. Take a look at this. It's the Boardwalk at Bricktown Tower, expected to be built in Oklahoma City. One tower will stand at 1,907 feet tall in honor of the year Oklahoma officially became a state. Two other towers will stand at 345 feet high. In all, the project will include 1,700 residential units, two hotels, and plenty of office and retail space. If it's approved, Oklahoma's skyscraper will be the fifth tallest in the world. Swimming is a great way to stay healthy, but researchers say it could also have added benefits for women of a certain age. Why some ladies might want to take more than an occasional dip in cold water. Plus,
digital clutter is just as toxic to your mental health as physical clutter.
Still to come, we'll explain the benefits of decluttering your digital footprint. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some breaking news, a story we just told you about. We've learned that Trump White House official Peter Navarro has been sentenced to 4 months in jail. This is for him refusing to cooperate with the congressional investigation into the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Federal prosecutors wanted 6 months, but he got 4 months. A judge is expected to sentence him to that 6 months and also impose a $200,000 fine. He has vowed to appeal the verdict.
According to the World Health Organization, roughly 34 million kids around the globe are deaf or have hearing loss. A new study is showing how gene therapy can restore the hearing of kids born with inherited deafness. Through surgery, doctors in the U.S. and China were able to place a working copy of the damaged gene into their inner ear. The children in the research all had deafness caused by mutations in a gene involved in transferring sound to the brain.
It happens to be a gene that where fortunately the rest of the inner ear is preserved and is healthy. And so all that needs to be done in his particular gene disorder is to replace that gene.
So doctors hope to advance this research to help more kids born with inherited deafness. They also hope to target other genes that cause different types of hearing loss.
This evening, you can learn more about how to access mental health resources. The State Health Department is hosting a fireside chat and town hall. Mental health experts will discuss how people can improve their mental well-being, where to find resources, and when to reach out for help. You can also learn how to support a loved one struggling with their mental health. It will be from 6 to 7 tonight. It will be streamed on the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services Facebook, X, and YouTube accounts. Swimming in cold water could help reduce hot flashes for women experiencing menopause. Researchers in London surveyed hundreds of menopausal women who regularly swim in cold water. About half the group say the activity reduced their anxiety. A third said it helped with their mood swings and improved their physical and mental health. Experts recommend more in-depth studies to determine the frequency, duration, temperature, and exposure needed to confirm when a reduction in menopausal symptoms begins.
If your phone is filled with apps, photos, texts, and emails, it might be time to do some digital decluttering. Bombarded by clutter can make you feel overwhelmed. It can also make it harder to focus and be more productive. Experts suggest a digital audit of your devices and deleting stuff you don't need, like old emails or text messages. You could also create folders and rename files so they're easier to find.
Clearing out your digital clutter can make you feel more in control and empowered. It helps to give you clarity and organization that you need to get things done.
Another added perk, you will free up additional storage, which of course means you'll add more pictures.
And just keep adding to the clutter.
Things like that, yeah.
Totally understand the benefits, but that goes on the list of things I know I should do, but I'll probably get to later.
Yeah.
Or maybe on a dreary day like today, you could stay at home and declutter your phone.
Clear out your device, because we're not clearing out these clouds, that's for sure. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRN Severe Weather Center right now. There's that look. It's not raining, Elizabeth.
No, it's not. I mean, look at this.
Just there, theory is true.
There's no water on the camera lens.
Liquid sunshine.
There's no, you know, wetness on the sidewalk. There are no giant drops falling here at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. What is this? Look at these guys. I mean, it is raining there right now. I was being sarcastic. They're just kind of hanging around, standing around, playing golf in the rain. And it's breezy, too. You see the flag flying there. I mean, you know, the camera lens looks fuzzy because there's so much water on the lens. And take a look at the radar. You can see it looks fairly light right now, but there is a bigger band that's about to move into Moore County. We're seeing some of that rain moving into Siler City in the western part of Chatham County, southern Wake County, and along the I-85 corridor. All this will continue to push eastward. We're going to see showers on and off through the afternoon. It'll be steady till light at times, and we're probably going to end up seeing somewhere between a quarter of an inch and a half an inch with this tonight. Well, this afternoon, we'll zoom in again. You can see some of that light rain here in Moore County, some of that rain around Sanford, and starting to push into southwestern Wake County right now. Let's take a look at the big picture here. We have a stationary front that's back to our west. Most of the precipitation is going to be closer to that front, but we're seeing this little band starting to creep out here a little bit ahead of that. There's been some thunder and lightning with that, too, back here across parts of the deep south. We're not likely to see any of that today, but we might see a few isolated thunderstorms tomorrow. Here's a look at Futurecast. Futurecast a little bit behind on some of that arrival of the rain later on this afternoon, but definitely looking at the potential for some scattered showers. May get a little break overnight. That's midnight, and then it gets wound up again tomorrow morning. Remember the drizzle that we had? We're going to be seeing that same pattern. So it'll be drizzly. We'll see some patchy rain as well. That'll last until around lunchtime or so. And then we may end up seeing some scattered thunderstorms during the afternoon. This version of Futurecast not showing quite as much of that as earlier, but because that front is getting closer to us, I certainly feel like we have that potential. This is 6 p.m. on Friday, and you can see that front as it gets closer to us sweeps through. At that point, around dinner time or during the evening, we could end up seeing some scattered showers or isolated thunderstorms. Then the warm front lifts back north across the area and starts to fill in with some showers in the afternoon, and then the rain gets heavy. Look at this. You see these yellow color contours? That front lifts north of us. We continue to see some heavier severe rain on Sunday morning. And then finally, Sunday afternoon, the cold front comes through, sweeps it all out. We dry out and cool off behind it. The mountains will change over to snow. We won't see any precipitation at that point. But Sunday night into Monday, there may be some snow in the mountains. And I know the ski resort folks will be happy about that. How much rain are we looking at between now and Sunday when it all shuts off? Well, from the Triangle area north and west, it could be up to 2 inches. Our southeastern counties closer to 1 inch around, say, Fayetteville and Goldsboro. So we do have a low risk for flooding with our potential for up to 2 inches of rain. That's going to be for the bulk of our viewing area Saturday night into Sunday. So we'll be watching that this weekend. Our temperatures this weekend, tomorrow 73. We're back into the 60s on Saturday and Sunday. And of course, you may remember 24 years ago, the snow was dumping right about now. You had 20 inches. It was incredible right around the Triangle area. Something that we haven't seen before or after, at least not in the last 50 years. We're back to some winter precipitation, winter temperatures, I should say. I've got that on the brain, don't I? Winter temperatures by Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but at that point, we're drying out.
Elizabeth, thanks. There's a controversy brewing in Britain. The ingredient, an American chemist suggests that you put in tea to make it taste better. After the break.
Uh-oh. And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers on your screen right now. We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
Wake Christian Academy canceled classes for today because of a threat aimed at the school. The sheriff's office says deputies responded to investigate. Investigators say a child made the threat, but they won't elaborate. The school canceled classes today as a precaution.
Tonight, Durham Public Schools employees will rally over pay issues ahead of a special board meeting. Employees will receive the new rate of pay for Friday's paycheck and could receive a second check if the board approves the money. We're expected to get an update during tonight's open session at 6:30.
Atlantic Beach police released new information about the murder of an Apex man. Randy Miller was stabbed in the early morning hours of August 29th and later died. He was in the area for a fishing trip. Police say three men were breaking into vehicles and one of them attacked Miller. Police sent surveillance video to FBI agents who were able to narrow down the car that they're looking for. They say it's a Volkswagen CC made between 2013 and 2017.
A lot of folks in Britain are getting salty over an American professor's advice on the perfect tea. A Pennsylvania professor claims a pinch of salt makes tea taste better. The controversy comes from the book Steeped, The Chemistry of Tea. The U.S. Embassy in London took to X to respond to the claim, saying tea unites the U.S. and U.K. A troubling trend is causing South Korea's food ministry to issue a health warning. People are going viral for eating deep-fried starched toothpicks on Instagram and TikTok. The toothpicks contain a food coloring made up of sweet potato or cornstarch, giving them a green hue. The South Korean Ministry of Food and Drug Safety posted on X advising Koreans not to eat the toothpicks.
The iconic white tulle skirt worn by Sarah Jessica Parker in the opening credits of Sex and the City just sold at auction. Forget this. $52,000. It was featured last week in a fashion auction. The costume designer for Sex and the City reportedly found the skirt in a bargain bin in Manhattan's garment district for just $5. The skirt was only estimated to fetch between $8,000 and $12,000 at auction. No word on who had the winning bid.
Depending on his mood, our pet of the day could show you his love by snuggling up in your arms or headbutting you. This is Baguette. We're told this 8-year-old male short-haired cat is incredibly affectionate. Baguette is good with other cats, gets along with dogs, really loves kids. He was known to curl up and sleep with the 4-year-old in his foster home. He has a common condition called FIV, which can affect his immune system. For more information on how to meet Baguette, go to spcawake.org. NBC News Daily is on your way next, and WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.